on and no light. Okay. Okay. Hold it a bit. Okay. First off, can everybody hear me? No. If not, I'll shout really loud. So we'd like to get our meeting underway. We've got a number of things to go through this morning. And we're going to open with a devotion from Pastor Schmidt, and then we'll conduct the business after that. So.
All right, thank you. Good morning again. Good morning. Thank you for taking valuable Sunday morning time to be here. I appreciate the effort that you made to be here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the body of Christ. We've been talking about the body of Christ for a couple years, and I want to take this and make it the theme of the next year of our ministry, if it's okayed by the council, and if the guys think that's a good idea, then I think that's a good way for us to go this upcoming year. What can we do to strengthen the body to glorify God in the future? If we don't have a strong body, that's not going to happen. You know, if we have strong parts here, a strong part there, but the body overall is weak, we're not going to have a strong ministry. And so here's how St. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can go with this, and I think the temptation is to say, well, because there is a part of the body that is not as healthy or as strong as I, that there's a problem with that part of the body. And if you think of it, that's not how our body works, is it? You know, if you have a sore ankle, you don't start beating on your ankle for not doing its job. The whole rest of the body suffers to take care of your ankle. And by doing so, you provide rest for your ankle, and then when your ankle is strong again, then the whole body is strong. But until then, you need to go get some physical therapy because your other ankle is going to take more weight, your knees are going to suffer, your hips are going to suffer. Everything is going to be out of line until that ankle is better. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? Jesus didn't say, I don't want you, I'm done with you, I'm going to go find someone else. No, he went to the cross for us to love us and take away all our sins so that the body could be whole under his leadership, the head. And I know it's tempting on every level, whether it's a pastor level, you know, to say, well, if only, you know, this board would do that, well, then we'd have all our problems solved. That's not how God is telling us to be. You know, what is my board doing to do my job? You know, what am I doing as pastor to serve all of you? That is how the body gets stronger, when I do my job. I don't know, quick head count, 65 maybe? I don't know, it doesn't matter. It's easy to say, well, aren't we a congregation of 700? You know, we make up the body of Christ, and what are they doing? And I'm only sharing that with you because it's been an age-old struggle for pastors for years. And I remember my big brother took me to task once. This was a few years into the ministry. I said, you know, Jeff, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, you know what? It's a miracle anybody comes to church. Isn't it a miracle that any of us are here? A miracle that Jesus loved us enough to make us his own? and that the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart that this is important for you to be here. So if you are going to be active in supporting the body, and I'm going to be active in supporting the body, you know, what can we do to strengthen our body in the next coming years? There are probably people that you know from St. Mark's that need, they need special attention from the body right now because they're hurting. And we could either start saying, you know, blame this person, blame that person, or you can say, what can I do? I am a member of the body of Christ, and I have a responsibility to suffer so that I can serve the parts of the body that aren't here. They don't stop being part of the body of Christ because they're not here. You know, if the board of outreach, if my board falls down on a task, you know, it's our job, and it's the other board's job to pick us up so that the whole body of Christ, by the way, my board of outreach is fantastic. So, but you get the idea, right? We are the body of Christ. And when one part of the body is suffering, the whole rest of the body needs to shore itself up so that we can love and support the parts that are hurting. That's where I see us going in the next year, and that's where I see this as valuable. It is not so that we can look and say this, it's so that we can look right in here so that your pastoral staff can do that, your leaders can do that, the board members, and then the congregation in general. How can we love the way that Jesus first loved us? And build up the body of Christ the best that God enables us with the tools that he gives us to. So may God bless our time in his word today. May he bless your worship, and may he bless the presentation that Chairman Cummings is going to share with us. Thank you for listening to the word of God, and we'll pray asking God to bless us along those lines. We'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us part of the body. We thank you for the head, who is a loving head, so much so that he sacrificed himself for us. May that good news and our Savior's love for us move us to dedicate our whole selves to shoring up the body, to being supportive of our ministry, and each giving so that we can love every part so we have a good, strong body going forward. We thank you most of all for the end of our journey, which will be in your arms. Until then, please keep us a strong body here at St. Mark's. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Welcome.
Just a couple of things. Because we only have an hour. Open forum typically runs a lot longer than that. So I'm going to reserve the right, if we get off on a tactic or a track that's getting a bit detailed, to just kind of cut the conversation off. But at that point, we have our able secretary, Dan Cummins, is recording what we're talking about here today. I would ask you then to, after the service, later today, whenever time, we can sit and meet, either myself, pastors, any of the board members, or the council members, and go through what you wanted to talk about in more detail. It's just right now we have to limit the time just to get across what we need to. So with that, I will begin. And I don't think we have a microphone to pass around. Yes, we do. So I would ask that if you have something to say, please make it known. We'll get the microphone to you as quickly as we can. If in the event someone who, I know we have some folks who have booming voices and they tend to carry over, I will make sure that I repeat that, because if people are going to be watching online, I learned that lesson at our last meeting. Not repeating that question, the folks missed what the question was, even though there was an answer given. So just please be patient on getting the microphone, if you would, please. Okay, a quick test. Who is St. Mark's Lutheran Church? Who is St. Mark's to this community? What do we represent to the community? We encapsulated that almost 15 years ago now in three steps, three little statements that we put together. And I asked that question of the council at the beginning of the year because I thought maybe we had lost our way, and it kind of goes back to what Pastor Schmidt was talking about, going back and encompassing the body and bringing the whole body forward. So I'm not looking for a show of hands or who knows it or who doesn't, because there's no, let's make sure that this works, and it didn't. I hate technology occasionally. There we go. So this is our mission statement. And those three simple things of glorifying God, growing in grace, and go with the gospel, encapsulate what we see as our mission and who we are, what we represent to our surrounding community. And those three things are what we should be taking forward with us in everything that we do, in our daily work lives, in our spiritual lives when we're here. And these are really, you know, glorifying God. I can say, I do that. Well, it's not me. I can't glorify God unless God has first worked a miracle in me. As Pastor talked about before, we're saved, we can go on, our work glorifies God. That's how that happens. Same with the rest of those. Growing in grace, being here during Bible studies, attending worship, there's a number of different ways. We add to our body of knowledge, we add to our spiritual growth, we mature as Christians, and that's how number two is accomplished. Once we have those tools and our toolkit is somewhat charged up, then we can go with the gospel. We can talk to others more easily about it, whether they are fellow Christians, whether they are people out here in the community, more easily be able to reach out to them and talk to them about the blessings that God has worked in our lives and what potentially could be done for them. But if we don't encapsulate those three in our lives and remember who we are and remember to encourage one another in each of those things, we're handicapping ourselves, handicapping the message that we can do. And this is what helps us become a stronger body, helps us move forward in our lives, both physically and spiritually, to be perfectly honest. I didn't have enough room so that I don't have to bend over. So, sorry about that, I'll disappear occasionally. Hopefully you can all read this in the back. I was hoping it would project better, and at some point in time I'd like to have a big screen that comes down from the ceiling that's wide, but that's a wish list. But anyway, questions to ask yourself as we go through this afternoon. Sorry, I'm used to forums being in the afternoon. You'll hear that more, so I won't apologize anymore for it. What does St. Mark's mean to me? And these are just points to think about. They're not all of them, by any means. Everybody has a different thing of what does St. Mark's mean to me? And I'm not going to try to pretend that I know them all. I'm not going to try to pretend to even list them all. But the reverse question sometimes is more difficult to answer in our lives. What do I mean to St. Mark's? We've got 65, maybe 70 people here. What do you all mean? What do all of the people who are missing mean to St. Mark's? Well, basically, what they are is the working life. The spiritual body gets built up, the physical body gets built up by our participation. And our participation is in the form of stewardship. St. Mark's needs my time, it needs my talents, and it needs my financial resources. That's how the congregation moves forward. It's how the congregation builds itself up. So when times will come, we're nearing the annual voters meeting at this point in time. People have been called and been asked to, on time and talent, both concurrently, to maybe serve in a particular role where at least the nominating committee feels that they may be effective. The thing I would challenge you all, and if you can challenge the people who aren't here, to be perfectly honest, is to come back and say, I can serve this way. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. Because we're not going to know everything. We're not going to know your loves. We're not going to know your dislikes. I was asked to be treasurer, to be perfectly honest, by Mr. Baker last week. And I'm like, you know, there's 1,000 jobs here I could pick to do. Treasurer would be like the last one. It's not where my love is. Just because I happen to know what goes on with it doesn't mean that I, you know, particularly love it. But you know what? Sometimes we have to do things we don't love either. But in reality, these three things really make up our entire life here as how we serve and serve the kingdom of God and to a more direct place here at St. Mark's. And it's how we interact with one another, how we serve one another. Each of the boards has to have a chairman, a working board that works with it. And what I'm urging all of the boards to do, particularly as my tenure as president is ending, is to establish more committees, more working committees, maybe have less board members even, and start utilizing more people from within the congregation. We've got a lot of talent here. And I'm going to ask each of you who have a particular talent and want to serve somewhere and you're not being satisfied, or you think you want something to, you know, be accomplished, step up. Ask one of the board members, ask one of the pastors, you can ask myself. And we'll point you in the right direction. And maybe it's something we're not even thinking about doing or not doing, and we should be. So your help is greatly appreciated. So I talked a little bit about this just in the previous slide. A lot of the things that we ask ourselves. It's very difficult sometimes when you are asked to serve to dedicate your time. We have people from a wide range of lives here. We've got young parents with kids. We've got older folks who have limited ability to even come to church. So time is very precious. And, you know, these are all questions we ask ourselves. Is there ever enough time? You know, do we have a good balance? People who are out there working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and then they still have to try and find time for their church life, they have to try to find time for their family life. And I asked that, threw in the last question, because a good friend of mine has always given me this advice about how does church fit into my life and how does church not fit into my life. Always asking yourself and approaching it from a standpoint of I get to versus I have to. Have to becomes a burden. And I was just talking with someone this morning about that, about things that we do here at St. Mark's should not be burdens. They should be joys. They should be the things that we do to help glorify the kingdom. And we do those as service to Christ, who we can never repay. But we do it out of the love for Him and love for one another. And as I close down here, it's how you ask the question of yourself that matters. And the next slide is going to say the same thing. Because we all, as Pastor talked about in his opening devotion, we all relate to one another. We may not know all of one another. I look around the room and I go, there's a couple people I probably am not tremendously familiar with. And I've been here for 15 years, but I go to first service. We have people who typically go late, typically go early, and the twain never meet. It's almost like two congregations. We're working on trying to change that, but it's a fact. But the fact is that the work you do doesn't diminish your contribution, doesn't diminish how effective we can be as a Christian congregation moving forward into the future. Any questions there about that at all from anybody? I should stop and ask questions. So. John.
Could you go back one slide, please?
Yes.
On the what do I mean to St. Mark's, I understand what's being said, but maybe sometimes the problem is that I read those three statements and St. Mark sounds needy. Okay? And so how we phrase something, it's almost like the I get to versus I have to. Mm-hmm. If St. Mark's is needy, then I have to. But if St. Mark's is full of opportunities for me to do the three things that are above and our three things that are our goals for our congregation, mm-hmm. then it becomes a point of I get to. Mm-hmm. And so St. Mark's needing my time, St. Mark's will leverage my time or give me opportunities with my time to do things that maybe I haven't even thought of. or St. Mark's will give me the opportunity to use talents that maybe I realize I don't even realize I have. And so I like to see what do I mean to St. Mark's is that the Lord has given me talents and resources that St. Mark's is able to use for the growth and glorification of his kingdom.
Very true. You don't know how we struggled with those.
I know,
three
it's always, I've been on committees to do these things, and your one word just drives a needle in somebody's heart.
But I hear you. And that's good. I'm glad you brought that up. It's very true. Absolutely true, John. Thanks. Any additional comments regarding that or not? Okay, we will move on. Okay, stewardship of talents. And I think a lot of people, in fact, in my years, I've been on the nominating committee now, probably 8 out of the last 10 years. And you make a call, and here we'll go back to your word about need, because we go to making requests of people to serve on particular boards, and I try not to let people off the hook from the standpoint of I'm going to ask you to be a board chairman, and if you politely decline that, and there's obviously good reasons sometimes for that, or maybe not, but there are reasons. I try to ask that person, would you be willing then to serve on a board or to serve on a committee? Maybe not the chair, but if you have a talent that you want to dedicate to a particular function here at St. Mark's, please do that. Because our leaders come from within, quite typically, and people who are serving on boards see how a board operates. It takes the mystery out of it. I don't know that I'm talented enough to do that. I don't know what I can do. I'm not experienced enough. That answers those types of questions if you serve on a particular board. And odds are, through that course of time, you're going to get called on to come to a coordinating council meeting. I like to have the board chairman, when they're not present, don't rely on the pastor to make the board report for you. As a member of that board, I should step up and come and do the reporting. We just had that happen Tuesday on Board of Outreach. It was a great thing. And it gives you the exposure to serving here at St. Mark's to find out that it's not arduous, it's not scary. We'll take any talent of anybody who's got the willingness to serve. And, we're really just not a tough crowd at all. We really like to have that volunteer spirit going on. And we encourage that simply because, again, we're serving the body of Christ in order to move it forward and make it better, not only now, but next year, the year after, and so forth. So, just the closing statement I have on there, God has given us all gifts to be utilized and shared, which is very true. I've been the last 4 years a chairman of your congregation, before that was a chairman of the Board of Elders, before that, so forth and so on. So I'm going to have a year off now just by virtue of how we have things put together. We'll call it a year off, but there's only things that I know how to do right now. And I can't, ask the next person who's coming into the role to just take it and take it cold and move forward. So I'll be working with that person, in the role of president to help that, working with the person who we ultimately have as treasurer. So those are things I'll be doing behind the scenes, still involved, still doing stuff. It isn't like just because you won't see Bill Cummings as chairman anymore means that he disappears. He's just going into a different role, and, a year from now, who knows? I'll be maybe driven to want to do something else. But at the same time, don't let that dissuade anybody from wanting to take one of the jobs I would like to do at all. Please. Okay, and moving on to the third phase of that, stewardship of financial resources. And that was one of the reasons that we wanted to hold the open forum, is looking ahead, looking at our current state, where we are, and then looking ahead at where we're looking out into next year. All things that we ask ourselves quite often, are we giving cheerfully? Are we giving our first fruits? we happy with what we're giving? Are we, you know, truly, prayerfully looking into our heart to say, yes, this is what we can do? And we all come from different economic backgrounds. We have different earning powers. So there's no judgment placed on anybody at all, because we each, in our own heart, give what we can give. So, you know, don't think about that. This last one in here, Pastor Waterstraw will probably remember more than anyone else, is I gave a talk, 4 years ago now, probably, about leaves on the vine, and was pruning good for me? It was. We all in our lives, depending even whatever status that we're at, we can go out and we can afford something if we want it badly enough. You know, I want a new car. I'll go get that. It doesn't have to be absolutely new. It can be new to me, but a used car. I want to go out to dinner. I want to take my wife out. You know, and I have a limited income. I want to take my wife out and go to dinner. I can do that. Well, at the same time, those types of decisions have to play into what you look at in your financial dedication to the kingdom of God. You know, it's again, in your heart, we can do what we want to do, and we will do what we want to do. So, you know, it's always a give and take on people, on how we approach our financial giving. Sometimes very hard for folks to talk about, and I'm going to move into some numbers here as we move forward, and we'll talk about those. It's going to be fairly straight, transparent talk, nothing you probably haven't heard already, except for like the budget numbers, but current financial status of the congregation. So I just want to leave the last point here is something that, you know, we talk about all the time. I think this church probably does one of the best jobs that I've ever experienced about who really owns the things that we have in our lives that we're responsible for.
In the words of Rush Limbaugh, in the little sarcastic tone he does on his radio program, talent on loan from God. I know he uses that to snip at those who disagree with him, but in reality, talent on loan from God is the truth. I mean, Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And we have to remember to give him the glory in that process.
Yep. Very true. Carolyn.
Well, I kind of wanted to go back to the last screen. About not having the talents, not experience. Through a series of events, I got kind of stuck, as you might say, with Thursday morning Bible study. I had no clue that I could do it, but through the Holy Spirit, I've been able to. So I'm saying that you can do anything if you try.
Exactly. You
that,
just have to be
because
willing.
I even look back and somebody say I do a good job, it's not me, because I don't feel like I do a good job. So I just wanted to say we can do things even if we think we can't.
And by the way, she does an excellent job. So she never thinks she does, but Carolyn does a great job with that. But it's very true. Sometimes, you know, that the old saying of sometimes you have greatness thrust upon you. That may be God giving you that direction, giving you that task, to point you in a direction you didn't even think about before. That, you know, I don't know that I can do that, to do what I'm doing right now. You know, if you'd have seen me a number of years ago, I wouldn't have stood up in front of you folks and talked about stuff like this. There's absolutely no way. But, you know, God changed my life, put me in a different direction, and here I am. So you never know, and never, you know, second guess God. Never think he can't do something, because he can. He'll make it work in your life. If you have a willing spirit, you'll get pointed in the right direction. Some people actually try something and then come back later. We have a lot of people who have gone through particular tasks within the congregation, and for whatever reason or another, they stopped doing it. And then a couple of years later, you know, God's worked on them and they've got the opportunity, their life has worked out correctly, and they've come back to serve in different capacities. So it's a mystery to me how that happens, but never a mystery to God. He knows us. and he knows what we can do. So, okay. Just a refresher. I have most everybody probably in this room because I see a lot of faces that attend voters' meetings. But I'm going to break down our financial resources into two different categories. One is the regular offerings that we give, and the second one is mortgage offerings. So where do my regular offerings go? What does that help support? Well, in regular operating funds for 2014-15 and for years past and years into the future, in reality, about 85% of that is related in some way to people. So it's our pastors, our teachers, the non-called workers, be it secretaries, janitors, other people who serve here. So, you know, in reality, our budget is built around supporting the people who help guide us spiritually, whether it's guiding our children or guiding us as adults. Also part of that 85% is what we send as our congregational mission offering, or CMO. You'll maybe hear it referred to for the rest of the day because it's too long of a three words to say. But that is a synod level. But again, that supports the same type of group. It supports teachers, it supports pastors, it supports mission workers. Anything at the synod level that we come back with, that's what is part of what we donate in our regular funds. The last 15% is rough, and those are rough percentages, is related to facilities support, paying the utilities here, the infrastructure, things that we have to do to keep up the church grounds. Anything that you see around here, that comes out of our regular offerings. So, any questions about that at all? He's coming. You're going to make me repeat it if you yell it.
Does the church's mortgage, is that included in those above percentages?
No, that's a separate and apart. It's never been a budgeted item. And since we took the commitment on to add the buildings and do the upgrades that we did, it's being changed this year. We're going to include it. We're still going to track it separately. It's not going to go as part of the regular offering. There's still going to be a separate mortgage offering, but we're going to give a closer attention to it because the complexion of it has changed and, you know, the world's changing and how we deal with it. But that's separate and apart from what the regular offerings are and those percentages. Mortgage offering comes in, that is totally dedicated to the debt relief of the mortgage.
Because those percentage splits are reasonably close to what I'm used to working with college budgets of about $100 million, that you spend about 80 to 85% on staff costs and then the remainder on your facility.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. Boy, $100 million. Our problems would be solved, at least financially. So, okay. Keep track of time for a minute. Do you have a way to do that? I need a timekeeper, please, so that you're going to be my timekeeper or you have a question? Okay. Oh, thank you, Pat. Okay. Okay. What percent of our offering goes to the school? There's not a direct correlation. We do support the school. That is, it's something St. Mark's does because the school and the congregation are intertwined. Percentage-wise, Matt, I can probably come close, but Mr. Bauer probably has a maybe better idea.
Yeah, it's not an exact science. If you figure our budget is roughly $1 million in expenses, we figure... No, what I was going to say is not accurate.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's about like 17%, 16%, 17%, something like that, that we support you know, in way of support of the school. That's not a direct percentage, but that's kind of what it is, you know. Somewhere in that neighborhood. That's where it normally has been in the past. Kind of floats up and down. It goes up to 20 and goes back down to 15, but kind of rolls along that way. But it helps also support the idea of bringing more people into the school, because in truth, and I came from a place when I came here to St. Mark's that had a separate school and church. The church said, absolutely not, we're not doing any support at all. The school has to be totally self-supporting. And when I moved here, they were charging as much for kids to come into the school, almost as much as we charge today, 15 years later, because they didn't have that support. So it was a struggle for that school to do that. So you look like you're pondering it.
No, I think you're thinking in the congregation's budget, we figure it's in the ballpark of $175,000 to $200,000,
yeah,
that supports the school above and beyond tuition. So in that sense, 17 to 20% of the budget.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah. So, okay, good enough. Okay, moving on then to the mortgage side, separate and apart. You have a totally separate envelope that's totally accounted for differently. And, you know, where do my mortgage contributions go? Solely to relieving the mortgage. And we're about 10 years into the building project right now. 2005, I think we finished. We did a refinance of that roughly 3 years in, I think, somewhere in there. I could be wrong on that, but that's just what memory is serving me at right now. So, and then we have a 25-year mortgage, basically, on that. So we're some 8 years into that new refinance mortgage that we did. So, again, that was a 2005 building project. We remodeled this is for people, if there's anybody who's joined here in just the last couple of years. But that effort remodeled the administration building behind the church, which was the original church building, and made it into this beautiful facility for our staff. And then we added the parish center with 4 classrooms, which replaced some dangerous classrooms that we had actually existing on the campus that were temporary buildings put up, I don't know, 30 years before or 25 years before that were sadly lacking. And then we reworked the playing fields and the parking areas. And a lot of that was accomplished by volunteer work from within the congregation as well. So Pat may have a little more familiarity.
Okay, you put me in the position of timekeeper. So as timekeeper,
yes.
I was looking forward to this as being more on the open forum side than presentation side.
We're going into the next part right now.
Okay.
Next slide.
Thank you.
The next slide will get us there. So just so you know, and we really had to set the backdrop to say where we're at. So, and how we got to where we are. Oops, that didn't work. At least it didn't work for me, so. There we go, okay. Current reality. People who have been reading the weekly installments, because everybody asked for information and transparency on where we're at for the current year, we're tracking right now in total income about $54,000 less than what we budgeted to take in. So I'll leave you to contemplate that just for a second. Our actual expenses are $31,000 less than what we anticipated those to be. So our net result is we have a $23,000 deficit after 10 months. $23,000 is where we're sitting at. It shows that even though we budget for this and we budget for income here and expenses here, we do a really great job of managing our expenses. So my little statement down here at the bottom is just more something that it probably will provide some conversation, but we have about 200 family units. And if we take the $23,000 and divide it by the 200 units, it's not that much. So what you would look to see is $115 per family on average between now and the end of June. Does that mean that everyone can give $115? Absolutely not. I mentioned that before. If you were going to have people, you have people at both ends of the spectrum. People have expendable income, people have no extra income. They're on fixed income or whatever it may be, and they absolutely can't do anything else. People who can afford things, they can spend more money on different things, and then you have a group in the middle who can do something. So, yes, Paul. Microphone.
I would like to just clarify one thing. The $31,000 less in spending means, because we don't have the $54,000 income, there's less ministry happening. And it's not because they want to cut $31,000, because when we take the $31,000 from the different boards and committees that we budgeted in to do a better job in the ministry in those boards are not doing that. So it's not just a matter of we didn't spend $31,000. It's a matter of we've taken $31,000 and the ministry has suffered. So by not having income, what happens in this congregation is ministry suffers in all aspects, including the school.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, because that was part of my, but that was good. It's exactly right. And not all of that, some of that is economies because things have changed. You know, hours have changed for some of the non-called workers, and there's been some reduction there. So there's some in the services side, but Paul's right. By and large, we don't spend because we don't have the money to help expand our ministry, to help the body grow and be better. We have Steve Ennis in the back.
Having done some of the work earlier this year, I figured out how we can handle this, where we're short roughly $50,000. 4 years ago, we had over 100 people a Sunday, more than we're averaging now. Mm-hmm. If we get that 100 people to come in every Sunday and put $10 in the plate, we've got over $50,000. The $24,000 question, though, is how do we get those 100 people back? And that's what the elders have been dealing with for over a year, and it's driving us absolutely bonkers. Mm-hmm. But if you and other members can get one friend that used to come all the time to start coming, we can solve this problem real easy.
That would help. And part of, you know, Steve is exactly right. We add more people, we eliminate the problem. We can't add more people tomorrow. That's kind of what the issue becomes. Does it say that we shouldn't try? No, we absolutely should try. So I'm going to leave you with that. This would alleviate the problem. It's not an insurmountable thing. The only reason that graphic is on there is that $23,000, we all look at that individually and we go, oh my gosh, $23,000. I can't do anything about that. But in reality, you can. Smaller steps, if you look at it, smaller steps is easy. You know, it's easier to digest. What is my part in it? Can I help somebody else out that I know can't make up part of that? What does God leave me to do in this instance? Do I maybe pay three families worth? Okay, we're getting there. John.
Sure that's on?
Yeah.
Okay, I have two questions. I hope I didn't forget the second one. The first one is, so if we make a commitment to, you know, we examine ourselves and we say that we can add this additional amount before the end of June, so the church's budget's back on track, Don't we really need to look at that from a point of view to continue on with that increased commitment? Because
next slide.
If we don't, it'll be the problem next year.
Yeah, next and, slide.
Okay. And then the second thing is, the $23,000 is owed to somebody. Who isn't going to get paid if you don't get the $23,000?
That's not an easy question to answer. It's not who isn't going to get paid. It's just where do we continue to roll the debt from? It doesn't go away. It's just something that rolls forward. So the earlier we can correct it, or we make it up. Maybe it rolls forward to the start of next year, and as our giving increases, that amount goes down. But it's really, that's a difficult question to go into. I would suggest you and I chat about that, and I can show you, because otherwise it'll take all of the rest of the time and more. Okay, here's our mortgage side. Actual income that we need to do our mortgage is roughly, our mortgage roughly per year is $167,000, $13,912 per month. We are right now, based off of what we give, $45,000 short over the course of the year. We have cell towers, though there were two cell towers up on our roof, that delivered approximately $48,000 a year to $48,000 to $50,000 a year. But one of those contracts has ended. And where it ended was in February of 2015. But we've collected approximately $40,000 after 10 months. So in the next one, there's a projection that it'll go away in 3 to 5 years due to changing technology, less cell towers required, and so forth. But in reality, we don't know. That could be there for 10 more years. It could be there for 4 more months. We just don't know. But we've developed a reliance on this to help us pay our mortgage. In reality, every year, that's what we don't, where we fall behind, because we've barely been making it with our cell tower numbers. So we look at the number, and what do we do? What do we look at what we do? You look at next year. This is $835 per family. If we go across 200 families, it's $70 a month. That pays our mortgage. It's not that big, again, of a hit if we look at it spread across 200 families. You know, if we want to make up this year, it's $25 between now and, you know, the end of June. So, okay. So, and you had asked as a congregation for some transparency earlier on. We've been giving you the actual budgeted information. Mortgage is somewhat hidden, and John's point, I think, before was where does mortgage fit in everything? Up till now, it hasn't. We need to not kind of sweep it aside anymore as we move forward. It needs to be considered. It needs to be prayerfully considered by all of us as to what these facilities mean. I remember 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when we started the building project, how enthused we were. Paul remembers 30 years ago when this building was being built, how enthused everybody was, you know, and they're committed to getting this done. And I don't feel that anymore, but that's a personal thing. You know, I just don't feel that energy from people. It's like, oh, we've got buildings. Okay. This is a wonderful campus, a great gift from God. And we need to find it in our hearts and prayerfully consider what we can do to help support it. So I'll leave that there because we are winding down on time. Here's the budget for next year. And there's a couple of things that pay into that, or play into that, sorry. We voted on as a congregation to move to Synod Code as the basis of our called worker salary. When we compare called worker salary according to the formula we always used, and we compare it to Synod Code, we find this is where we're at. Roughly 10% under for pastors and 13% under for teachers. That's on an average. That's not individuals. So our current plan is, let's make up half of that this first year. That's the way the budget's built right now. That's $34,000 of the $55,000. The commitments that we had, and this is due to people, it's attrition, normal attrition, as people have left the church. Steve's point before about encouraging people to come back is a good point, because looking at the budget right now, we can only put $602,000 in as projected income. That's $32,000 down. I don't want to leave the feeling that the people who have committed, because people's minds, you think about this, people who have committed aren't meeting their commitments. You are. By and large, we've had enough people leave this congregation. There should be an $80,000 deficit now. And we have 23. So the people who have made commitments have committed. You've gone and supported the work of God. What we're asking right now is to search your souls and search your hearts to see what you would like to do. I'm going to dwell just on that a little bit. We can talk individually about what this amount is, and for those of you who are interested, I am more than glad to do that. Again, we look at what that deficit is. It's $25 a month for all of our families. For next year, the deficit goes away. That's what it means. It's not insurmountable. Fran.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that, you know, we talk about the extra money being given per family unit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think what we have to really wipe that out, like per family unit.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, can I sit next to you?
Okay.
I think we have to wipe out the idea of the $25 or the family unit, because what you do is you get into this little pigeonhole category that says, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to give the 25,
mm-hmm.
but so-and-so better give the 25 too, because I don't want to give more than he does. And so if you wipe that out and you just give, seriously give from the heart and give what you can give and don't worry about your neighbor, just give it. If we have too much, boy, wouldn't that be great.
So much the better.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we have to just really wipe out the family unit giving. It's just give what you can.
I think even to build on what Fran's saying, what we need to do is just look around this room. There's not 200 families here, there's 70.
Yeah.
And we're it, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We need to step up to the plate, whether we like it or not, and jump to the opportunity. It's not a problem here.
It's not a problem.
We're not talking about doctrinal differences. We're not talking about things that could affect our souls. We're talking about a way that we can grow in our faith. And one way we can grow in our faith is sacrifice a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not going to kill us. I mean, if we have to pull it out of savings, 401, I don't care what it is. We need to step to the plate, the 70s in this room, and take care of the problem and not go forward next year with some kind of a $23,000 deficit. It just will not do it. We're going to have to do it in this room.
Yes.
That's it.
And I want to thank Fran for her comments. We've gone back and forth. It was similar to John's about need before. We went back and forth about, should we go down this low? Should we just show the total amount? And we thought, well, okay, let's go into the detail, because it takes out of people's minds that there is such an insurmountable number. Pat.
We're almost at the ninth and five. I would like Holly Roth to speak about her experience in going to another church in Southern California.
Okay. Is she here? Oh. And will she? Okay. We'll let her speak. I'm just going to finish this up so we can be finished up. And then we'll let Holly go from there. Where do we go from today? What do we do from now? Exactly what Fran and Paul were talking about. We take the knowledge that we've gained today, some of the things that we've seen. We prayerfully consider the St. Mark's and our part in that. Our part. What do we own? We own what we can do. We don't worry about our neighbor. We don't worry about that person's going to give this and that person's going to give that. I see all of that, and believe me, I could not tell you what anybody gives here. I have no clue other than me. So we don't have to worry about that. We recommit our time, our talents, and our finances to finish this year strong and looking out to next year. The numbers we've just seen are not insurmountable. And, you know, I'm talking here recommit for the fiscal year. It's not just that. Our time, our talents. When somebody makes a call, listen to them with an open heart. Not resisting that, and not that anybody would, but not resisting that, oh, it's an imposition on me. I just encourage you to look at what Pastor talked about at the beginning, that if there's one part that's hurting, the whole body hurts and favors that. I can speak from the physical standpoint. I have plantar fasciitis during the week, and I'm somewhat limping around up here right now. But in reality, we need a healthy body. Us 70 that are in here, the people that are here, are the core of that. And we need to help move the whole congregation forward. And that's a way that we can do that.
Quick thing. When we as elders,
1 minute.
Yeah, when we as elders go visit, we're looked at as the police coming in to drag them back to the church. I mean, that's how many people look at it. Yeah. It's more important that we have these 70 people ask somebody else to come in. It's a lot stronger than an elder coming in to visit.
Yep, would agree. And did Holly, is she still around? Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Pat had a point behind that, so. Do you want to comment for her? Okay.
I think we're missing the mark. We have a problem in the congregation. We're sick. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to deal with it like we have a little cut. And what we have is a heart problem, heart disease. Mm-hmm. We're heading in the wrong direction. We're looking at how we can make ourselves feel better when what we really need to do is go back to what our purpose is as a congregation. When I accepted the call here about 13 years ago, that was what really prompted me to come, because we had a vision for what we wanted St. Mark's to be. And in my opinion, we have lost a vision. The only way we see is backwards. We're looking to what we did the last 50 years. We're no longer looking forward to what we can do as a congregation. Instead, we're trying to figure out how we can get more money, how we can get the people back that we lost. That's looking in the rearview mirror. Yeah. What we need to do is start looking at ways that we can serve our community. Mm-hmm. Glorify God, grow with the gospel, go with God's word. And we're looking at how we can get more money. We can't spend an hour looking at money when we have a heart problem. It's like putting a Band-Aid on our cut. So that's what I think. And since you asked me, then I spoke. I probably wasn't going to speak, but I wanted to hear more from other people in our congregation. I've heard from the leaders. You know, I know you guys all really well. I know what you think, and I know that your hearts are in the right place. You want desperately for us to succeed as a congregation. I know our pastors do. I know our principal does. I don't get to hear very often from the ladies who come on Thursday morning and are faithfully here studying God's word. I don't get to hear from the young people like Holly and her experience of what it was like to go to another congregation, which in my opinion was very much like our congregation. And I think we can learn more about ourselves by listening to our people, maybe the people who've left, maybe the people who are about to become leaders in our congregation, instead of just listening to the people. Here she is. Would you please, do we have time?
Let's take all the right. Time. Take the time, yes.
Well, I've had, being a college student, I went away and have lived away from St. Mark's during the school year, and I've had different experiences trying out new churches. And as a single young person, it's difficult to go to a new church, and nobody talks to you sometimes, or sometimes they're really welcoming. But I've had a variety of experiences at different churches I've visited, and maybe it's easier for with people with young kids. I think we at St. Mark's do a good job of welcoming people with young kids. But if a single person comes in on their own, I don't think anybody knows what to do, like to make them feel welcome some like to be approached, some don't like to be approached, but it's hard to know what to do with guests.
Oh, No, and I agree. I mean, we talked about this at the last council meeting. One of the things that was brought up, and I can't remember, I might have heard it from Tom originally. When you drive up into our church, you're a new person who comes in. Doors are closed, and there's nobody there, and it's a Sunday morning, and you get out, and you don't know what to do. You probably experienced that when you went to one of those. Where do I go? What door do I even go in? And part of that is being a welcoming, encouraging people to come into our church. I agree with exactly everything what you said, Pat. You know, I think we have lost our way. Yes, part of it's finances because we have to deal with that immediately. But at heart, you're right. And I actually think that, folks, as we move forward, we either need help as our congregation to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and be vocal. People in the pews, be vocal to your leaders. And tell them what you think. Tell them what you think is ailing the congregation. Because we don't get a lot of feedback. I talk about money here. To me, there was a huge concern. We started publishing about money. I didn't hear a word. Not a pin drop. And that's, the money is a symptom. It's not the cause. The money is a symptom. So, and I have Betty back there, and then we'll close.
Because Pastor Strait's going.
It's not on, I don't think.
Because Pastor Stray's on a leave of absence and he won't be teaching Bible class next Sunday, why can't we have an open forum for the members to express their ideas? Is that a possibility?
Let me talk with the pastors, and I don't necessarily think that's going to be a bad idea. But I don't know what else they have going on. So I never refuse those opportunities for people to give us feedback. Anything else before we break up, everybody? Dave Call.
Everybody ought to pray about this. Pray. I haven't heard prayer mentioned. Everybody go home and pray about this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's part of our whole prayerfully considering what we need to do as we go on. Sorry to have kept you so long. Thank you expressly to you, young lady, going away to college, which is really hard to believe. Not really.